Across the UVM Health Network, incidents of physical violence and verbal abuse in the emergency department are on the rise, mirroring national and regional trends. So today we are joined by three members of UVM Medical Center's healthcare team as they describe the challenges of maintaining a safe healthcare environment and share their personal experiences with violence. Matthew Luft is a staff nurse in the emergency department. Amanda Young is a nurse educator, and Dr. Julie Veith is the Assistant Medical Director of Emergency Medicine. This is UVM Health Talk. I'm your host, Caitlin White. Well, welcome to the podcast. Thank you all for joining me so much today. Looks like we have a lot here to cover. So I'll start with you, Dr. Veith. What is healthcare violence, and what kinds of violence do healthcare workers experience on the job?
Yeah, thanks for having me. Workplace violence, it turns out, is actually really poorly defined. There are a couple of different definitions, one from the World Health Organization and the other from a regulatory body here in the United States. But I think it's one of those things that we define because it happens to us and it comes across in all sorts of ways, from verbal assault with a threat of violence to actual physical contact, being hit, slapped, spit on, kicked, punched, and everything in between.
And Matthew, could you share your thoughts, please?
Sure. So workplace violence for us, as Julie was saying, kind of runs a gamut from these nonviolent verbal encounters, which we think of as verbal assault, where folks are using either really vulgar or directly threatening language, threatening violence, and then that continuum going up to kind of low-level physical altercation, spitting, pushing, to kicking, punching, biting, headbutted in the face, and punched and knocked out, things like that. One of our mental health techs was stabbed with a pen recently. There's a pretty continuum from low-level verbal assault all the way up to significant physical assault.
And Dr. Veith, I'd love to ask you, what is the scope of this problem? What do the data show about violence in emergency rooms, and how has this issue changed in recent years?
The data is split amongst data that's collected by emergency physicians and data that is collected by emergency nurses. And I just want to be clear about that because there are many other people that work in our emergency departments. And just because I'm not mentioning them doesn't mean that they're not affected. It's just we don't have specific data reporting those different types of healthcare workers. So having said that, in 2022, there was a study done through the American College of Emergency Physicians, and 2/3 of emergency physicians reported being assaulted in the past year. That's only looking back 1 year. That is, of course, peri-COVID time. There's a general thought that violence has increased throughout COVID. And if we're in this post-COVID phase, we're certainly seeing an increase in violence compared to pre-2020. The data that is supported on the nursing side is very, very similar. And I think if we look at all comers, at least 75% of people working in healthcare in the emergency department have experienced some type of violence, whether that's verbal or physical.
And Caitlin, specifically, our emergency department is averaging greater than 30 assaults a month.
Gosh, it is really incredible to hear some of those numbers. So as members of the healthcare team at the UVM Medical Center, I'd love to hear what you and your colleagues are experiencing and how this impacts the way in which you care for patients each day. And I'll open this question to all of you, but how about Matt? Let's start with you.
In our department, we experience the threat of violence or violence on a daily basis. And as Amanda said, the 30 incidents of violence a month, those are incidents of physical violence. So when someone was physically assaulted. And for our staff, that's often a patient that is punching or kicking or spitting. That's relatively low level. We've had nurses and some of our support staff, our mental health techs and our EMTs that have had hands broken, that have had facial bones broken. We've had multiple staff members that have been punched in the head and have lost consciousness, have had mild traumatic brain issues and injuries. And that is a daily occurrence in emergency departments, basically across America.
And Dr. Veith, how about your experiences here?
Yeah, I like to think that I'm the lucky one because I have people like Matt that are constantly looking out for other physicians such as myself. And the nurses and our techs are truly the ones at the front line of this. Amanda mentioned that we have 30 assaults a month in our emergency department. And I think it's just really important to note that that's just what's being reported. There is a whole heck of a lot of assaulting that happens that does not go reported. And that's for a number of reasons. I think in some sad way, we're so used to this that those verbal assaults just hurt a lot less the more time that goes on. And we brush a lot of those under the rug. And so they don't get reported. And we're probably really seeing the tip of the iceberg. I think it's really hard to go day in and day out and not be witness to some type of assault on one of your colleagues. And the majority of that probably comes in more of a verbal fashion. But I can recall just in the last week, several physical assaults that have happened to our staff. And what's also unmeasured and difficult to ascertain the true scope of the problem is the amount of emotional and moral distress that happens amongst ourselves when we're either witness to this or victims of this.
And Amanda, tell us what you're seeing from your role and your perspective.
Yeah, I mean, I see the increase in workplace violence for our hospital actually is what was the catalyst for my position even being created. And they're realizing that there's such a huge increase that we need to have a program specifically for workplace violence and de-escalation. What I'm seeing is people really chomping at the bit, wanting to get more training to help manage these really tough behaviors that we're seeing. What I see as far as, you know, I was at the bedside just a couple months ago, and knowing that we had this increase in violence made me a much more hyper-vigilant nurse and more cautious around the patients than I ever wanted to be. So I'm hoping to help deliver a whole lot more training and care to our patient-facing staff so they can feel more comfortable at the bedside and not quite as scared.
So I'm listening to these stories with everything that's happening, you know, ranging from, like you all mentioned, verbal abuse to some pretty serious physical assault happening. Is there an easy or straightforward solution here? And I'll open this question to everyone again, but what is being done to better protect healthcare workers? And what is UVM Health Network's plan to keep addressing this issue? So I'll follow the same order that I did with the last question. We'll start with you, Matt.
So our response is multimodal and includes departments from across the institution. So all patients and family members that come in through the front door are screened for weapons. And we are trying to limit the amount of things that are brought into the department. So we have instituted a clear bag policy. So as a patient or family member, you might be asked to leave a large bulky backpack in your car and just have things in a small clear bag. Folks have likened this to kind of TSA rules. And the idea is that if you wouldn't bring it on a plane, you probably shouldn't bring it into the healthcare setting. We have increased our security staffing so that we have more in our waiting room and more that can circulate through our department. We have increased training for all of those staff members. We try for a 100% training for a violence management program for all of our staff that have patient-facing responsibilities. We've done things like increased lighting in our parking lot. We have instituted increased PPE or personal protective equipment that our staff can use when interacting with patients who might be violent. As part of that, we also have started screening all patients that come in by ambulance. And these are significant changes from our baseline. And for folks that have lived in Burlington for their whole lives and have accessed care at UVM, it feels like they're going to the big city and, you know, gosh, what are these? Why am I being searched when I just come to the hospital? But it's simple things like this that we're trying to do to reduce the incident of a maybe low frequency but high impact event. We have instituted some internal policies about how we can respond to violent encounters. And we're doing things working at the state level and working with both our state representatives and the police departments in the area. We're working with our local prosecutors to make sure that we have a unified voice when it comes to responding to healthcare violence.
Absolutely. Well, it sounds like a lot is being done to combat these trends that we're seeing. Dr. Veith, what are you seeing?
I think what we're also seeing is some recognition at the state level. in conjunction with at the federal level, that this is a real issue. And it's leading to healthcare workers leaving the healthcare system in droves. And I think in general, we like to now say, if you wouldn't do it at Walmart or at your bank, probably shouldn't do it here in the emergency department either. And as such, we have had a recent law come into play in Vermont called S-36. And it makes it a felony to criminally threaten a healthcare worker. What it also does is it changes how law enforcement categorizes these crimes. And so previously, our law enforcement officers could not arrest individuals who are committing a misdemeanor unless they actually saw it happening. But with S-36, it allows our law enforcement partners to actually treat violence against healthcare providers similar to the way they would treat a domestic violence call. And they can actually take the perpetrator into custody for the simple assault, criminal threatening, violent or threatening behavior. Now, that's not to say that they're going to remove them from the hospital if they still need medical care. They will not do that. We will still continue to provide that person medical care just as we would anyone else. But it would mean that they could actually take them into custody and we can pursue then legal recourse in that means. And that law actually doesn't apply to just healthcare workers in the hospital, but also our emergency medical specialists out in the community.
And Amanda, like you mentioned, a brand new position that opened up that you took on. What are you working on?
I think it's just so interesting because the hospital in general, but the ED specifically, has always been a microcosm of what's happening out in our society. And we're seeing so much increase in the infidelity in our society as well. That's just happening in our department. What we're working on is just really increasing our training. We're gearing up for dealing with this huge influx of violence. So we're increasing our training for our patient-facing staff. We have several workplace violence committees that are happening all over the hospital. And what we're also seeing, like Dr. B said, I think about burnout and some compassion fatigue when people are facing aggression and incivility all the time. We're here with a workforce that just came out of COVID and are being hurt. And we're working on a staff support team to be able to respond to staff who are having a hard time as well, so we can really support those staff.
So wrapping up here, with these changes and mitigation efforts in place, the patient experience will look different today than it has in the past. And Matt, you kind of touched on that, people coming from rural areas into the city and being a little shocked by these changes. But what can members of the community seeking care expect? And we'll start with you, Matt, please.
As I mentioned before, as a community member seeking care or as a family member visiting a patient in the emergency department, you should expect that you'll be screened by a security officer when you enter the waiting room or as you enter the department by the ambulance spec. And that is to make sure that patients or family members don't have any weapons or anything that they can harm one of our staff or other patients with. That process takes a little bit of time, but we still fully support and embrace patient and family-centered care. And we want to prioritize getting family members back to the bedside and visit their patients. And we will do so as quickly as possible. That process, as folks enter the department, they'll be screened, they'll check in with security, and then you'll either be greeted by a nurse and triaged and cared for as you would normally, or as a family member, you would be able to speak with security and we'll prioritize getting you back to the bedside so that you can be with your family members.
Great. And Amanda, your thoughts in this area, please.
Yeah, I totally agree with Matt. I mean, what we're asking from society is to bear with us while we weather these changes and work hard to keep our staff and the general population as safe as possible. But other than that, just people should know that we're working hard to treat everybody the exact same way we always did. And we are still really dedicated to taking care of the folks who need our care.
Well, thank you all for joining us. I know your schedules are so busy, but we really appreciate the time and learning this information. And thank you for listening. You can find more podcasts just like this one online at uvmhealth.org/healthtalk. I'm Caitlin White, and this has been UVM Health Talk.